Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
All right, stand up on your feet, take your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Go to the book of Luke, please. Luke chapter 14, it's also on the screen. Turn in your Bibles or on your device. Luke 14, verse 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, yes, even his own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." And we will read one more verse of scripture later on in the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your principle of increase and for the blessings of God upon us. Speak to us out of the volume of your word. May we forever be changed. Speak, O God, to you, to your people, and to each and every one of us, every man and woman and child be brought low, right upon the tablets of our heart. May we be impacted, I pray. Release a revolution through revelation, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And you may be seated and say amen. We started last week in a series called Extraordinary Living. And I preached on keys of a supernatural life. It's well worth listening to and studying. And I hope that you would avail yourself to that on YouTube as well as on Facebook and Spotify, the podcast. Made an emphasis in that message about being filled with the Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit. In fact, in the Discover class, as we were just there, Pastor Karen and I, on the first week of Discover Track, and you can come next week, but the first week is Meet the Pastors, and we were up there meeting the precious people, and someone asked about what is a charismatic, and we got into that a little bit about what a charismatic church is, and what a Pentecostal church is. We're a Pentecostal church. It's a Spirit-filled church where the gifts of the Spirit are here in operation, not just in a back room. It's in the back room, it's in the front room, hopefully it's in every room. We believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so we talked about that last week, amongst other things, the keys to living a supernatural life, because if you're going to live a supernatural life, if you're going to have this extraordinary life, you're going to have to be filled with extraordinary, which is the Holy Spirit, other components of that. But this morning, still morning, be afternoon here in just a moment, I want to talk this next second message entitled Living Beyond Self. Living beyond self. What is narcissism? What is narcissism? It is a psychological disorder. The term a narcissist was coined by Sigmund Freud. And it's based on Greek mythology where this character, Narcissus, went and found some water and bending over to drink out of this pond, saw his reflection, and that he was so beautiful that he fell in love with himself. And that really is a definition of narcissism. Someone who's in love with themselves. Narcissism is a root problem in our culture. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It'll also be on the screen. Paul talks about it as a mark of the last days. And if there ever has been a mark of the last days, well, there's a number of things. The super sign of the last days is the fact that Israel was made a nation in 1948. That is the super sign of the end times. There's no greater sign than that. But certainly 2 Timothy chapter 3, while you're turning there, and for those of you that are aware, perhaps the Lord allowed me to preach it tonight, but I'll just tap it for a moment. Those of you that are aware, 9th of Av started at sundown yesterday and is all day today. What is that? It is the single saddest day in all of Jewish history. The 9th of Av is when the spies brought back a bad report from the promised land. The 9th of Av is when the first temple was destroyed, is when the second temple was destroyed. 9th of Av is when World War I started. The 9th of Av is when the Warsaw, 1942, the Warsaw, the Jews were brought out of Warsaw and just put over in these ghettos and started the genocide and Hitler's machine calling Jews useless eaters. And the 9th of Av, England kicked Jews out on the 9th of Av. Spain kicked the Jews out. I think they murdered 500,000 people on the 9th of Av. The 9th of Av is the saddest day in all of human history. And there's other things that happen on that day also. It is a supernaturally like evil day. And what they do is they read the Book of Lamentations. And they sit low and they grieve and they fast and they pray. Today's the 9th of Av, so I wanted to mention that to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But mark this, everybody say mark this. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I mean, that would be a byline of what we've seen in the world in these recent years, but there's a turnaround. People are coming to Christ. People are learning to deny themselves. And that's important because you have a fallen human nature, and if you don't learn to deny yourself, you're going to end up demonized. Why is that? Because Satan's power is parasitical, a parasite. I remember a certain family in the church went salmon fishing. They did not know that there are parasites in salmon. So while they were filleting their fish, they saw these little worms that were popping out. And they were so grossed out that I don't think they ever went salmon fishing again. And I'm pretty sure salmon is not on the menu. If everybody say freeze your salmon, then you can eat frozen worms instead after they get cooked. It's a parasite. How many of you know what lice are? Lice. I don't have much of a problem with lice because I don't have any hair. Lice are parasites. Parasites. Satan's power is parasitical. What do you mean by that? It means he needs a host. What do you mean by that? What I mean is the way in which you live can open the door to parasitical satanic power. But I'm a believer. That's nice. You can still open the door to the devil. Did he say, are you one of those hellfire churches? Yeah, any real church is talking about hellfire? Yes. Have you preached whole messages on it? Yes. It's important. Satan's power is parasitical. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Don't give the devil a foothold. Say it. Don't give the devil. Topos is the word foothold. It's talking about anger. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath and give the devil a foothold. So from that, we understand anger can, you can be angry, just in your anger, don't sin. If you allow for, you've got to put a limit on what your anger is. And letting the sun go down is a good way to do that. We've had that rule, but it's not a command. It's put a limit. Certain things will make you angry. Don't hold on to it, because if you do, you're giving the devil a base camp. How many of you know what a base camp is? You're giving a place of operation. You're giving them a topos, a foothold. So literally, by the way that we live, we can give a base camp to the devil in our lives, or you can evict him and leave him out. It won't have a foothold. James 3, turn there. It's on the screen as well. James 3. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Verse 15. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have, everybody read this with me, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and, can't hear you, disorder and, I still can't hear you, disorder and what? Every evil practice? Like witchcraft? Every evil practice? Yes. Yes, that's what it says. I thought that was like a little bit extra, James, but it's not. And if you'll find envy and strife and selfish ambition, you will find evil has a place of operation wherever that is. I have a no strife policy, envy, strife. I have a no strife policy in the church. I have a no strife policy in the staff. We don't allow it. What do you mean? If somebody's disgruntled, well, we're going to work it out. We're going to get through it. But if you start spreading strife, you're going to get corrected. You start spreading division, you get corrected. The Bible says, warn a divisive man once, twice, have nothing to do with him. Have you had to remove people that are divisive? Yes. And so does every other healthy church. How many of you know people want to cause strife and cause problems? We cannot allow it. You can't bump your neighbor and say, don't allow strife. Come and look at your other neighbor and say, don't give the devil a base camp. Go ahead and tell him. So there's ways that you can live that'll allow for the worms of heaven, or the worms of the devil, if I could say it, parasites. Genesis 4 and 7, sin is crouching at the door. We made our kids memorize this. Sin is crouching at the door, desires to have you, but you must rule over it. It's spoken to Cain before he murdered his brother Abel. Cain's all irritated about Abel. Abel's offering was accepted and mine wasn't. And his face is downcast, and God comes and visits him and says, dude, what are you sucking on lemons? What's going on? And he's just pouting, and he says, don't you know that sin is at the door? You have to master it. And you know what he does? He doesn't master it, and he kills his brother. It's the first murder. Satan's power is parasitical. Be sure not to be a host. Let's look at our texts here. John 12, 23-26. Jesus is talking about life, his life as a kernel. Glory, power, victory, the extraordinary life doesn't come through exaltation, but through surrender and death to self. Let me say that again. Glory, power, and victory, the extraordinary life comes to the one who dies to themselves. I hate that. I know, I hate it too. It's brutal. That scripture God gave us when our little boy went to heaven, God gave you that scripture. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground. Jesus is talking about his own life, that his life is a seed. Do you know your whole life is a seed? Death can bring forth life, it says. In Romans 6, it's on the screen as well, verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. There's a new life in God. There's a new life in God, but you've got to die to your old one. You got to die to yourself. You've got to surrender. You've got to submit. And if you don't, you'll never experience that new life. Oh, the enemy wants you to hold on to things and wants you to continue to live life the way that you want to. You can't live your life the way that you want to, but the truth is, once you really find yourself in God, once you really fall in love with him, when you're really set apart for God, what begins to happen is you begin to desire what he wants, not what you want. But there is a great battle between the spirit and the flesh. If you yield to the flesh, it'll bring destruction and death. But if you die to your flesh and submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to learn to desire the things that God desires. And when you do that, a great transformation comes. Great healing and power is released. God views life differently than we do. We need to adjust the way that we view life. John 14, 25, anyone loses their life. This is the paradox. Here's an oxymoron. It's a jumbo shrimp. I mean, how do you have jumbo and shrimp? Christianity is filled with a paradox. Lose your life and you actually get it. Give and it's given to you. Over and over and over, you see this paradox in Christianity. John 14, 25, anyone who loves their life would lose it. Well, anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it to an eternal life. So if you live for you and yourself, you will crash and destroy your life. Your life is not about you, it's about him. He's the one who made you. He's the one who called you. He's the one that knit you together in your mother's womb, and you need to surrender, you need to submit and love him with all your heart more than actually your own desires and will. Mark 8 and 35 says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And he goes on to talk about the benefits in verse 26 of our main text of John 12. Whoever serves me must follow me. So following Jesus has great benefits. Come on, say that with me. Following Jesus has great. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be also. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So when you serve God, what are some of the benefits? The power of his presence. When you serve God, you'll have God's presence in your life. It's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Nothing like his presence. And it's not just his presence. The second part of that is the Father will honor you. Everybody say, if I serve God, the Father's going to honor me. Yeah, Father's going to honor me. I'm honored by my Father in heaven. It's beautiful promises. Luke 14 and 26, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and mother, let me say this. He's not saying that we're not to love our family. He's not saying we're not to love our spouses. He's not saying we're not to love our children. He's not saying that because so many people read that and be like, what a contradiction. The Bible contradicts itself. Yes, and you're uneducated. So stick around. We'll try to help you out. Because Jesus says, the Ten Commandments say, honor your father and mother, have a long life. But if you dishonor mom and dad, you will shorten your lifespan. We're supposed to honor our father and mother. We're supposed to be loving and kind. In fact, the Bible says the man who provides for his family, that there's a blessing for that, and the one who doesn't provide is worse than the infidel. Literally, the one who does not provide for his children is worse than the unbeliever. So we're supposed to honor, but our devotion to Jesus has got to be first. I'm told, and I agree, that I have a good marriage. Who told you that? My wife. So I've seen people that say, one spouse says they have a good marriage, and the other one's like, yeah, we're working on it. Well, you're always working on it. I have a beautiful marriage. I'm so grateful. Our kids are gone. They're serving God. I'm very grateful for that. And now we've become fly fishermen, and it's amazing. We don't have kids at home. We have new fishing rods, and we're rejoicing at the incredible run that's taking place. But the reason we have a healthy marriage, and we work on it, the reason we have a healthy marriage is because I love God way more than my wife. Now, that might be an offense to you, but the truth is if you love your spouse more than God, you have an idol. No, Jesus is number one. And because of that, he puts in me and puts in her compassion and understanding and patience and kindness and goodness. Without Jesus, been long divorced, long broken. Need God. I need God. Our devotion to Jesus must come first. Come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, my devotion to Jesus must come first. It's before anything else. Somebody said, you're American? I am, but I'm a Christian first. I'm a born-again, spirit-filled, blood-bought Christian. I love God. That's number one. After that, I'm an American. Your devotion to Jesus has got to, it's got to come first. All right. In Luke 16, verse 13, let me read this to you. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money or mammon. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, as we move along here. What a powerful Friday night we had with Lou Engel, who referenced Revelation, chapter 12. I had some people say, Pastor, that was a really different service. Sure was. It was a body of Christ event, and so the worship was different, things were different, and it's different. We hosted it, and was very grateful for all the wonderful things that took place. So if you felt like you were a little like a fish out of water, if you come here normally, it was not how we run our services normally, it was different. I yielded to the leadership of the Valley Pastors Prayer Network, and I was very grateful for their role and praying and being a part of the body of Christ. We're glad we're a part of the body of Christ. And then Lou Engel brought this word, and he really is a prophet to America. And so it was really like a prophetic service where we decreed and we proclaimed, and we had communion, which we're going to do here in just a little bit. In fact, over the next number of weeks, we'll be taking communion every Sunday. I felt like the Lord told us to do that. So we did it in the first service. We're going to do it in the second. And it was fantastic. Revelation 12, when you read Revelation 12 and verse 11 specifically, there's some keys there. And I'm going to read it to you. They triumphed over him. Triumph, I love that word. Triumphed over him. Who's him? Well, it's not God. It's talking about Satan. So they had victory over Satan. How did they have victory over Satan? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of what? By the blood of the... So if you're going to live an extraordinary life, if you're going to be used by God and fulfill the mandate, fulfill your divine purpose, if you're going to see that take place, which is God's will for every single person here to have a purpose and fulfill it and then literally stand before him to give an account and receive rewards. I mean, it's amazing. If that's going to happen, the first thing is the blood of the Lamb. You must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The blood of the Lamb. Without the blood, there's no church, there's no victory, there's no power, there's no authority. We'd just be left and headed to hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish. There is a perishing and have everlasting life. So they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb slain before the beginnings of the foundations of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said of Jesus. Put the scripture back up, son. And by the word of their testimony. And by the what? By the word of their testimony. So the blood of the Lamb, that's one. How did they beat Satan? By the, by the what? Blood of the Lamb. Number two, what's the next part of how did they were able to win? The word of their testimony. It's not just a testimony without words. It's actually you sharing your words. I was broken. I was lost. I was left for dead. And God came and rescued me and saved me. And he took out the heart of stone and he put in the heart of flesh. He redeemed me. He washed me. He cleansed me. He took away my shame. He took away my guilt. He set my feet upon a firm... Oh my gosh, on Christ the solid rock I'll stand. I've been redeemed. Anybody else been redeemed? I've been washed. I've been cleansed. Your testimony has power. The blood, your testimony has power. In fact, it's one of the three weapons listed here, Revelation 12. Okay, next part, verse 11. Leave the scripture up. Thank you so much. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. If you're going to live an extraordinary life, you have to love God more than your own life. And if you don't, you will end up being defeated. There's very heavy passages in scripture that deal with the culture of our world, and this is one of them, because the culture of our world is narcissism. Loving Jesus more than your own life releases victory to us. Wow. God is speaking to us a number of things. Lorne Cunningham wrote in one of his books, when you come into a city, Lorne Cunningham is the founder of YWAM, he's going on to be with the Lord and was a close friend of Dr. Morocco's, and we met him a number of times. He's released more youth and people into missions in this modern age than any other organization. had a vision of the youth coming upon the shores of all the nations. And they've done that, and they are doing that. It's amazing. YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And he said, when you come into a city, if you're going to take that city, find out the besetting sin, find out the main sin condition in that city, and operate in the opposite spirit. We must operate in the opposite spirit of the world, the flesh. The world wants to take, the world wants to steal, the flesh. Galatians talks about what the works of the flesh. We need to not operate that way. We need to not operate by the devil. We need to operate by the Spirit of God. If we're going to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, we got to be willing to operate in the opposite spirit. Soft word turns away wrath. That's different. Got to persevere in doing God's will, right in the notes. We have a tendency to quit. We have a tendency to quit. You think about the Apostle Paul. He's stoned at Lystra. I read this in my Bible reading this past week. He's stoned at Lystra for preaching the gospel, and the disciples come around him and pray, and they're praying. They surround him. Do you understand what stoned means? Not smoking weed. It's rocks hitting you until you're dead, and then you're under a pile of rocks. So it's not like there's a couple rocks around. They would literally cover them with rocks. They're just stoned. And the disciples surround him. You can read it in the book of Acts. The disciples surround him and they pray and he gets up. Now, many people think he had his third heaven encounter. He went to heaven at that time. He got up. What does he do after he gets up? He's like, wow, that was wild. Where are we going now? He goes on to preach the gospel the next month. How do you stop a guy that is not, you kill him and he gets up. You know why? You can't keep a good man down. They said the same thing about Jesus. And he goes and he preaches. We must persevere in doing God's will. I'm talking about living an extraordinary life. I'm talking about beyond self. You've got to get rid of self, and you've got to realize that if you're going to contend and win the victor's prize, you've got to be persevering. You've got to persevere. So many people have a 50-cent view of their faith. I was talking to our Indian pastors this past week, and I taught them on binding and loosing, a key message in the DNA of Kings, certain messages that you'll never understand this church unless you hear them. I preach it almost every year. I don't think I've preached it this year yet. In fact, I'm sure I haven't. Binding and loosing. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be. Whatsoever be loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. But taught them that. Power God coming down in a Zoom meeting across the continents. At the Q&A, one of the pastors said, I have a question. And I said, okay, what? He said, you know, in India, they believe if you pray and you have faith, that's it. What do you think about praying more than once? They say that you don't have faith. That's what they say here in India. I said, if that's true, if you had to pray more than once and then you don't have faith, then Jesus didn't have faith. Because Jesus prayed for a blind guy once and then the blind got partial healing. He prayed twice and then he saw clearly. And the widow and the unjust judge, there is a persevering. You have to continually learn to put your flesh down, continually learn to persevere, stand on the word, decree the word, preach the word, share the word, live the word, think the word over and over and over, and there comes breakthrough. There comes extraordinary when you do that. We've got to see things as more important than ourselves. You know, we have early morning prayer, and by the way, we're moving early morning prayer downstairs. It'll happen by this Friday. It'll be right here in the lobby. So you walk in at 6:30 in the morning, 6:30 to 7:30, we pray together. You walk in and you'll see morning prayer towards windows. Number of reasons for that. We have a school. We had to make room for our 170 students and the teachers, 20 teachers on the staff and aides. Thank God. Well, they need room. So we gave them the whole side of the church over there, And we moved our offices around, and we're moving the prayer room downstairs. Number of reasons. One, to make room. Two, I had two dreams of a prayer meeting with hundreds of people in front of those windows. And I thought, let's do the dream. And I believe that God's going to touch you in such a way that you'll begin to come to morning prayer. And we have problems with how to stream. I just told them, okay, figured out, because we're doing it in front of the glass, so figured out. Because we have to move forward. You got to be persistent. You got to constantly seek and knock. The whole seek and knock and ask, it's perpetually seeking, perpetually knocking, perpetually asking. If you just give up after the first time, I mean, why would you have a breakthrough? No, you've got to persistently put your flesh down. Some people have reasons for stop serving. They stop serving God. People have reasons for stop going to church. I mean, you have a guy like the Apostle Paul, and then you have people like, the music's too loud. You got to persevere in doing God's will. Philippians 2. Pardon me. Galatians 2, verse 20. Perseverance is the mark. This is not Galatians, but perseverance is a mark of willing to die for something bigger than ourselves. I hate getting up for morning prayer, okay? Hate is not too strong a word. I like evening prayer. I get touched by God around midnight. So in the morning, I don't feel like getting up. But I come because of a commitment. So I'll do crazy things. First of all, I've got all kinds of systems. Snooze, I've decided this from the devil, so I don't use a snooze. So that means when I set my alarm, that is when I'm supposed to get up. I don't set my alarm and then 10 minutes. And some of you got all kinds of games. I don't do that. So I set my alarm, Pastor Alex, for 5:55 a.m. 5:55, why? Because 5:55 reminds me, grace, grace, grace. Five's the number of grace. So when that goes off, I'm like, grace, grace. And then I literally count. I turn my alarm off, and then I count to myself. Okay, grace, grace. 5:4. Jesus. 5:4, 3, 2. Jesus. 5:4, 3, 2, 1. I open my eyes, and I force my carcass out of bed. Why? Because something is more important than me sleeping. Now, you need to get rest. I'm not saying you don't. But you need to be committed to something that's beyond your comfort. Because if you don't, you'll never see the extraordinary life. Galatians 2 and 20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live by the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He hung naked on a cruel Roman cross. The least you could do is be a living sacrifice. That's what Romans 12 talks about. Oh, and if you don't, you won't see extraordinary. You won't see the breakthrough. You must see some things more important than ourselves. Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, verse 3, but in vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. How many of you are doing that? Who's the most humble person in the room? Would you raise your hand? We need to value people above ourselves. So I don't feel like doing that. I know. But that is the attitude of Christ. That's what he did. That's, if you live that way, you'll have a life that's filled with great joy. It's not that you don't take care of yourself. You do. But you look at the needs of other people and meet them. Not looking to our own interests, but each you look at the interests of others. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be devoted one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, themselves, and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. John 15, quickly. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Wow, that's what God did. That's what we're supposed to do. Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve. Everybody say serve. Serve one another humbly in love. And the way in which you live will release the blessing of God. Or you can be filled with parasites from the pit. Take your pick. Years ago, there was a track. How many of you know what a track is? It's these little witnessing tools. And the four spiritual laws. In fact, it's the first track I ever saw. I never saw a track before that, the four spiritual laws. And they handed them out at church, and we used them to witness to people. And I remember reading through that, and they showed this picture of a life that doesn't have God enthroned. And it's this throne, and then sitting on it was a big S, which stands for self. But when you receive Jesus, you get off the throne, and then Christ gets on the throne. So Jesus is the center of your life. And when you have Jesus as the center of your life, your whole life begins to take right order. But if self is the center of your life, then you have envy and strife, and you have the works of the flesh, and you have destruction, and in the end, you have death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life. You must be born again. You say, isn't everyone God's child? No. Everyone's made in God's image, but not everybody is God's child. You become his child when you're born again. And if you've never, I know I'm yelling. I feel passionate about it. You must be born again. You must get your vanilla booty. I retract that statement now. Get your tail off the throne. Get self off the throne. You've got to get off the throne and put Jesus on the throne. Some of you are like half on the throne and half off. That's a life of misery. Lift your hands to heaven and say, I don't want to do that. Our sacrifice can make a difference for time and eternity. I thank God that we are in the kind of church that we are, because the result of that, I'm saved. I thank God for the intensity of 45 years of ministry, modeling what it is to put self down and to drive and strive towards the things of the kingdom. And we need to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit in order to overcome self. It takes the Holy Spirit to overcome self. Pastor Karen says it this way: it takes God to live for God. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you might have tried to live for God on your own accord. Well, you won't be able to make it on your own. Living an extraordinary life means living for God and his kingdom. That's what that means. And I believe that God is touching our nation, and God is touching Alaska. I believe God is touching you, touching your husband, touching wives, touching children, that we could live an extraordinary life. Would you lift your hands to heaven? Keys, please. Pastor Alex, would you take the keys? Thank you. Still have joy. Still have joy. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Alex, thank you. Life apart from this message in Christ is miserable. You got to sell out. Some of you are so concerned about the stuff you're going to lose. You won't get to do your thing. Is that thing really working for you? With all your parasites? I'm gonna live for you, God. Not gonna live for myself. I'm gonna live for you, Lord. Gonna live for you. Thank you that you died on the cross. You rose from the grave. Thank you that you made a way for me to be set free from my fallen human nature. Who will deliver me from this body of death? As the Apostle Paul said, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. The very thing I don't do, I want to do. Oh God, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to Christ. Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. A body of death is a way that they would kill people, a judgment for murder in Roman culture. That literally, if there was, would you help me? Literally, if someone was, they murdered, if I had murdered somebody, they would literally take the body and tie him on top of the man who murdered. And you'd have to walk around with that body. Guess what happens after about a week, 2 weeks? A death gets on you. Your fallen human nature is part of the fall. You got to deal with it. You got to put it down. You got to learn how to do that. Some of you cave into the things of your flesh all the time, so it's very hard for you. We taught our kids to eat green leafy vegetables even when they hated them, and it caused them to, well, Danny, he said, I'm going to throw up. You're eating it anyway, dude. Now, we didn't make him eat it every meal, but he had never tried it before. So you're going to try it. Why would you do that? Because I didn't want them smoking weed. If you don't teach your kids to put their flesh down, then they're never going to learn to do it. We help people of all ages and ethnicity. I know people that are 50 years old and they're like a little child. They don't know how to put their flesh down. They don't know how to discipline themselves. And you know what? If that's you, I'm so glad you're here, because God wants to help you. He wants to heal you, wants to set you free. If you cave into self all the time, then you're going to have demonic parasites. You are opening the door. If the devil was just outside that door right there, I mean, if he's just outside that door, would you let him in? I mean, outside this door right here, if the enemy's there, and you know it, and you hear a message like this, and you're just going to go ahead and get drunk, you're just going to go ahead and do that thing that you like to do because it's my life and I can do what I want to. Is it? Maybe you're not born again then, because if you are born again, it's not your life. What is my life? I can do it. So then you go ahead. You go ahead and you get hammered. You go ahead and you lust. You go ahead and you look over that pornography, and you just let the devil on in on your life. And you wonder why you're disturbed. You wonder why you've got anxiety. You wonder why you're filled with fear. You wonder where the blessing of God, if God loved me, this and that. No. God loves you, but you've got to line your life up with him. Get off the throne. Put him on the throne. You are made for more. You were made for peace. You were made for joy. You were made for hope. You're made to live an extraordinary life, not a life of pain and torment.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.